are beautiful, we're irrefutable. We are omnipotent, we're militant, resilient, we're autonomous. We are the consequence, we are consciousness.
We are the heartbeat of every freedom fighter who came before us, and all will come after.
Feral. Adjective. Especially of an animal in a wild state after escape from captivity or domestication.
Alcatraz, Arab Spring, 1 billion rising. Freedom schools, the maroons, rebellion thriving. We've been rising since the dawn of creation. Sun in the blood of our veins, liberation runs.
Welcome to Feral Visions, a decolonial feminist podcast brought to you by the grassroots adult freedom school Liberation Spring. I'm your host, Anjali Nathupadia. Let's begin with a content note or trigger warning. Here at Feral Visions, we go deep, and that often means courageously addressing imperialist, white supremacist, cis-heteropatriarchal, capitalist settler colonialism in order to support healing and transformation. Bypassing isn't an option. The only way out is through. The time for denial is over, and today's a great day to keep it real. Since we're unapologetically truth-telling, please practice excellent self and community care while listening. To begin on that note, I invite you to join me for one deep breath right now so that we can be as present as is realistically possible moving forward with this dialogue. If you're feeling it, do inhale, then exhale with me right now. Thank you for showing up to do this work. Let's dive right in.
To the place where we can all attain emancipation from oppression, break the chains from Haiti to Tibet and worldwide. Don't forget the resistance in our roots and resilience in our breath, in the blood of our veins, liberation runs. We are standing on the shoulders of the ancient ones.
Tune in for this wonderful dialogue with the mother-daughter duo that is Baby Mamahood. Mama Juju and Zion Angelus help folks move beyond a one-size-fits-all approach to parenting, motherhood, and families, and bring back the ceremony to birth. Juju and Zion are also the creators of Love Adventure Project and Radical Childbirth. Juju is a solo, single parent, a full-spectrum doula, poet, and communes with plant relatives. Currently in her 12th year as a parent, she deeply loves parenthood and nature, and holds radical mama support spaces for single mamas of color in East Ohlone land. Zion, her daughter, is a student at Decolonized Academy. On a Grammy-nominated album by Alphabet Rockers entitled hashtag Rise Shine Woke and Loves Making Slime, they both create plant medicine to heal common symptoms that people face as parents and radical beings, and both want to become midwives. Currently, they're working on a revolutionary community reparations model, shout out to Poor Magazine and Homefulness, through Patreon. Juju writes, quote, "Our hope is to create a revolutionary model of fiscal responsibility through community input so that we can exclusively serve our community," end quote. To find out more or to stay in touch, please visit babymamahood.com. They say, "We all know that it takes a village to raise a child, but it also takes children to continue the village. We believe that if we decolonized our imaginations and lead and make amends with this intention, our actions can transform communities through our resurgence of our collective autonomy, our power, and our culture. We know better, and we need your help to be better."
Good afternoon. It is so great to have you both on the show. Welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
Good.
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's an honor. And just so that you all know, this is the first time that I've had a mother and a daughter on the show at the same time. So that is so special, if you ask me. So thank you so much for both agreeing to come on the show at the same time. That's really a treat.
Yay.
That's awesome. Hopefully we see more moms and daughters.
Yes, please. I hope so.
Yes. For real.
Such a special experience. Well, there's so much that we could get into today. Mm-hmm. However, I would love for us to start with this new project that y'all are working on, Baby Mamahood. Mm. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about that, please?
Yeah, for sure. Baby Mamahood actually is a blog that I started, I don't know, I think Zion was around 3 or 4 years old. She's 11 now.
Yeah.
Is it that long ago? I can't remember. Yeah. But basically, I started it because I was just like really tired of the negative connotations that come in the hood when you call someone baby mama. And I just felt really empowered by being a single mom. And I thought that I should write my story and like redefine the word baby mama. And through that redefinition, it really allowed me to empower myself on this journey, which I feel like as a person raising another person who's also a womb holder, like I need to model to her what it feels like to be like really strong in my singularity.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for that. What has the project meant for you so far, Zion?
Well, I feel like the project felt more like as like a generation I want to bring on for my children. So if I want to have a baby, then that baby will become a mama, and then she will have another baby, and that will become a mama. It's gonna the generation DNA will keep going on and on. So baby mama hood, like my mom said, can be not just a silly word and says something that's powerful for women.
Mm, thank you for that. And, you know, maybe some of our listeners might not have ever really thought about this topic in this way before. And it's so very important. And so I'm wondering, could you explain a little bit more about why this is so important right now, and especially in this moment in time?
I feel like this topic is really important because globally, women are heads of households. It's a story that we really don't see in an empowering way. And it's like a global phenomenon. I think in the United States, it's like half of people who have families come from single parenthood. And usually how those stories are depicted is like you a welfare queen and you made a bad choice. And not really realizing that if, let's say, you did have a child with someone and you're from these inner city streets, like what is your pick of the litter, right? I hate to say it like that, but like what is it? And so the choice is, even saying that, well, you had a choice, is even like a really loaded thing. And so I feel like for me, the way that patriarchy is, the way that toxic masculinity is set up, and the way that affects the communities that I come from, I have to make a real like decision with my life and say, do I want to define my motherhood based on whoever contributed sperm to me? Or do I want to define it based on my ideals and my aspirations to be a mother, and to like really honor that in a way where it feels like divine, where it feels like I'm in tune with nature, where I feel a part of my community, you know? And so I feel like a lot of my friends, a lot of the things that I see who are single mothers, they're either struggling to get a man to be present in the child's life or to have some like form of resources, or they have severed that and are just miserable because they feel like they did something wrong. And I was like, how am I doing something wrong if I decide to stay, right? If I decide to have this child and be a part of their life because I feel like I have something meaningful to offer to them. And I don't think that that should be defined by potentially being with someone who is toxic to femininity, you know, and to that whole energy, because this idea that society says that this is how it's supposed to be. So that's part of the reason why I started the project. And I feel like what happens is, too, is when you carry a lot of shame and a lot of trauma and a lot of guilt, your kids have it, too. Like, my mom is also someone who raised me as a single mom, and her mom, too. And so it's like they carry this weight of feeling ashamed. And then how does that affect your child? How does that affect the way that you parent your child? How does that affect the way that you discipline your child? Are you present as a parent, or are you not present because you feel like you want to run away from the version of motherhood that you have? And so I'm just like, no, like you can be a baby mama and you can raise your child and you can live in a way where it's aligned to your missions and your values, and no one else has to define that for you. Like, that's a choice that you can actually make. It's like everyone doesn't have to have a child through this traditional way of you find a man and then you guys get together and then you stay together and then you have a child and you raise them up together. And that's beautiful if that's what you want. But for the rest of us who don't want that, like, I'm just tired of constantly being defined by that when it doesn't actually define me.
Mm-hmm. Can I add that to that?
Please.
Also, why we created like this thing, you know, baby mamahood, is to get into, like, because she explained Baby Mama. I'm going to explain more about the hood. So.
Yes, please.
So, hood, you might think it's just like a cute catchphrase, you know. It sounds cute. But also why it's like Baby Mama hood, because usually a lot of mamas who are not that privileged or live in the hood have to figure out ways to use natural herbal medicine or find education for the child and stuff. So, like, I go to Decolonize Academy, which shows a lot of, like, information and good information, not like the colonizer says. And also, like, for a lot of, like, healing stuff, we also work in our business stuff, and we also make bath salts and a lot of stuff that we make with our own hands, like our people used to do.
So I really appreciate that you mentioned the hood part, because that is like a huge piece around like being poor. And that's a real reality thing that we still struggle with, or try to reimagine our ways around that, and realizing that the earth has everything that you need, realizing that your mama, that your grandmama, that her great-grandmother, like, had everything that they needed. And that's the reason why we're still here. So, like, honoring, like, the hood and the streets and the people on the ground doing the work to actually heal us and, like, to heal the generational trauma. And so that's also part of Baby Mamahood, is, like, this mental health piece and creating medicine that cures and not medicine that actually keeps destroying you, you know, like messing up your pineal gland, which is a whole other conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
And also just, like, also talking about, like, our struggles and stuff. Also, when we put hood, is also, like, how we were, like, my mom said, like, poor. When we grew up, we didn't have much money as other people, as privileged people. And so how we got up and woke ourselves and learned about culture, about things that were hidden from us and things that we didn't even know of. And we started, you know, helping each other out mentally and physically. And we started building the revolutionary.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Thank you for sharing that. And something that I appreciate so much that you've both been sharing is this critique of the way that the dominant society pressures this sort of one size fits all idea of families onto people that have very different cultural approaches and understandings to what a family looks like and what this idea of family even means. And then also, right, healing and wellness and health more broadly. Could you talk a little bit more about how the work that you're doing is helping expand people's understanding of what healthy families could look like, what it could feel like to be in a healthy family, and move beyond that kind of shame that so many of us experience from the mainstream society and pressure to fit into this sort of cookie cutter model that's super cis heteropatriarchal that some of us have never had any kind of interest in to begin with. Could you talk a little bit about that piece, please?
I feel like the work that we're doing is the work with ourselves, really, like, honing in and, like, constantly creating solutions around how do we deal with this idea that you just brought up, a philosophical idea that is, like, supported by racism and supported by classism, cis heteropatriarchal, is, you know, white supremacy. All those things are created for us so that we can believe in this idea, right? And so I was like, well, I can create my own idea too. That's kind of like where I was coming from. It's like, well, my life in and of itself and the choices that I'm making, just because I am a Black woman, because I share Taino blood, because I'm also a mother and decided to be a mother as a single person, like, my life is the revolution in and of itself. And the way that I see myself expanding is just by having these conversations, by creating opportunities. Like, for instance, one of the things that I do is I have a radical mom support group. It's all for women of color. It's all for single moms. And I do it about once a month at Canical Farm in East Oakland. And it's all about that, is to just get that shit off your chest. Like, get it off your chest, this idea that you have to fit into this one size fits all bullshit. And I think in Oakland, I feel like people already have this understanding around one size fits all, but you really have to decolonize, like, almost everything that you've been taught. And one of the things that I did very young with Zion is I had to tell her, because all the stories that I read to her, all the picture books around family always had two parents, like always, usually a male and a female. And that was seen as a complete unit. And I had to remind her through our own life, through other people's life, that that's not what it looks like all the time. And that's okay. Like, something is not wrong with you because your family doesn't look a certain way. And I think that's the piece that's really scary, is that we're saying that this is the right way to do it. And if you do anything outside of that, then something is wrong with you. And so for me, like, that's, again, why the reason why I started Baby Mamahood is to shift that perspective and to really give a fullness to motherhood in general that is really lacking in the dominant society. Because I feel like even to this day, women who have become single mothers, or people who have become single mothers or single parents, they still feel like, I need to find a partner to complete my family. And I'm just like, no, my family is complete, you know? And so I want to give some space for Zion to talk, but I also do doula work, which is something that I didn't think that I would ever do. And I could talk more about that.
Yeah. So to add into that, I just want to, like, because I know we've been talking about, like, how we're colonizing ourselves, our mind, cleansing ourselves, and how it's good for us. But how we give back to the community is, well, we're doulas, and we help with births. And for our business, we're making bath salts and stuff. We're also trying to make a radical childbirth website that we're also working on. We're also, like, trying to make rubs for mothers and stuff. So Baby Mamahood is all connected to all these, you know, stuff that we do, yeah, outside, and things we do, like, as jobs, or, like, things that we love to do, and also, like, websites and businesses. It's like Baby Mamahood is, like, our life.
It's the foundation of how we interact with one another. It's the foundation, but I also see it as an umbrella, you know? And I feel like our ask and our goal is to actually be able to share it, because even to share is also like a form of privilege, because you need the resources in order to be able to share things, right? You want to share from your saucer. You don't want to share from your cup, because you need to be full, right? And you need to be someone who's deeply grounded, you know, and can really, like, take on a lot of work, because being a mother is a lot of work. It's a lot of unseen work that goes into creating a child who can articulate their needs and their wants in a way that my daughter, like, her hearing her talk right now is, like, so mind-blowing to me, because I'm someone who suffers from PTSD. I'm someone who sees a therapist twice a week. I'm someone who has gone through a lot of deep emotional trauma as a kid all the way up to a teenager, and, like, working to unpack those things now, right, and to colonize that off my body, right, and to still have a child who's intact, to have a child who can listen deeply, who have a child who is very articulate. And that's, like, part of, like, I want to share this with everyone that I know, because it's not just single moms who need this. Like, people without kids need this, because you're also a mom. Like, I tell people who don't have children, like, you can mother as well. You can also be, like you said, a caretaker. And the earth needs that too. The way that Mama Earth is suffering so deeply, we need to be better caretakers. And that takes a lot of thought. It takes a lot of meditation. It takes a lot of deep awareness, because we have been so disconnected from our story, from our original story. And so Baby Mamahood is like, okay, you trying to make fun of me because I'm not married to someone, and you want to diminish me into a baby mama. So I'm going to do what all Black folks do. We're going to take this bad word and we're going to make it into a positive thing for us, so that we can actually live in this society and not just survive, but I'm really interested in thriving. You know, that's my interest, is to thrive. You know, I also would like to travel. I would also like to, you know, go to midwifery school, like all the things, but that takes support. And I think that's part of, like, you know, the sharing is, like, I do share, but I would like to share more. And I think that the only way that's possible, and I think just for everyone in general, whether poor or not, is to have a support. You know, to have support.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. Please, of course.
One of the things that also caught my eye was when she said, like, a lot of men that we dealt with our life, and, you know, other people dealt with, like, a lot of abusive behavior. You know, it's hard to explain, you know. And also, like, a lot of cultures that I have seen in movies, and, you know, people have said, like, if you want to have, like, a baby, you got to get married, mostly with, like, a guy and stuff. But really, it's just your life, and they also like make these stories and things that we have to do just to have a baby or whatever, when you can just not, and you just make the person do it, you know, and it just feels like peace, broken.
Yeah, thank you for bringing up that piece about media, how all of those movies and TV shows and songs so often are just spreading poison and propaganda and trying to pressure people into something that might not have ever fit for them.
Manipulate people or confuse people a lot.
But I want to say something when you said abuse, because I think that's huge. Like, there are people who stay in relationships because they're being abused, right? But they stay because they feel like they need that person for their survival somewhere or another. And that's a real concern, you know? Yeah. But luckily, I feel like we live in a society where there, especially here in Oakland, like, there's a lot of resources, a lot of people who care. There's a lot of people who understand that. And so I don't want, especially women, I don't want women to stay in a relationship because, in an abusive relationship, because they feel like that's their only narrative, right? Like, they have to stay there. And I'm telling you, no, you don't. You don't have to do that. It's definitely a choice. And again, it could be a choice, a privileged choice, but I feel like once you shift your mind, you shift, everything else shifts. That's been my life. I've seen that work for me so well, you know?
So people say, like, when you say that they have to be in an abusive relationship, even though they think that they have to be in a relationship, if we talk to them, like, you should stop doing this, blah, 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 then they're not going to, you know, they're not going to, like, think about it. They're just going to be like, nah, I want to stay in this. But we need, like, people to can do that so they can be role models for them, so they can actually be like, oh. So we need a lot of role models here.
No. I really appreciate you saying that, because people have actually come up to me who don't have kids, and they're like, seeing y'all makes me feel like this is possible for me. And a lot of people have a lot of childhood trauma. Like, violence is such a thing that happens here a lot, and we really don't talk about it. Like, the Me Too movement now is getting a lot of airtime, and I'm happy those conversations are happening. But this is something that starts, really, at least for me, it started as a kid, as a five-year-old kid, you know? And it's like, people feel like they can't be a parent because of things that they saw and the way that they were parented. Yeah. And so, again, like, being role models is like, it was something that I never thought that, you know, it's kind of cheesy sometimes, but I never thought that I would find purpose, like, in motherhood and, like, create, like, you know, an idea, a business, a lifestyle that works for me and Zion, and sharing that with other people so that they can create their own lifestyles that might work for them and not for this story that they're trying to fulfill.
Mm-hmm. And also, in media, they say having a kid without a co-parent or man is a mistake, which it's just like, people watch these things because those are role models. Like, they're just like, oh, they're doing that, what about I could just do it? They're famous, you know, they live in a life. So a lot of people also been accused or been said mean things to because they had a baby, or their parents not with them, or they don't want one, or they accidentally have a baby. You know, just like, oh, that's just a mistake. Well, when you have, like, all these, like, PTSD or all that stuff, it doesn't just happen automatically. Like, a lot of things, sometimes you feel like it's true, or a lot of things happen, a lot of communication or abuse or stuff like that. So I feel like a lot of people are, you know, listening to these words and then just whispering to other people's ears. Not like actually doing that, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, it is so important to have those alternative role models, if you ask me, that do expand our understanding of what's possible. And I know definitely, you know, my mom was in an abusive relationship, and the way that she got out was by dying. And so that's why when I see the kind of example that y'all are sharing with the world, I'm serious when I say it's life-saving. Wow. And, like, right, her mother before her raising her kids as a single mom, like their mother before them raising their kids as a single mom.
And why not honor that? Like, why not honor that and exalt that and not belittle it? And betray it.
And like I said, things like that, like all those happens of people threatening them or just abusive relationships, it just turns into suicide, all this, all these things that happen, but everybody's just like, oh, it's okay.
It just causes more harm. Shame causes more harm. That's all it does.
And even if they're pregnant, it just gives them more doubt.
Yeah, and we could be making miracles instead, right. And we could be expanding love and care and support, coming back to what you were talking about earlier.
But it's not always their fault, you know, because that's what they have been learned. Mm. So people think that they're the victim, but people are behind this. People are just telling people this. And a lot of things happen. Like, if you were learned to just kill food and stuff to get food, then, of course, that's what you're going to keep doing. Right. If I learn math, then I learn math. I know how to do math. So once you teach these children or whoever, or let them watch this stuff, because their age is not that traumatizing, but once you teach people these things, they're going to start doing those things. And once they start doing those things, they're going to be the victim when they just learned it. So if you really think about it, it's not their fault. But they should not be doing it. But that's what they learned. Their, like, whole life, or, you know, they just learned it, you know? Some of the things that we have said, people learn these as children. It's just mind-blowing. Mm.
For sure. I think what I get from that is that, like, it's a ripple effect. Mm-hmm. And whatever I teach her, she's going to go somewhere and teach it somewhere else. And I tell people this all the time. Like, I'm doing capitalism a huge favor. Like, I'm doing free labor for someone who's going to be an outstanding person one day. And then if she decides to have kids, and if I taught her all my trauma and not a way to express it or to circumvent it, or what to eat, how to commune with nature, how to be an outstanding, not just a citizen for the state, but how to be an outstanding person for the earth as well and the people around you and lifting people up. If I didn't teach her that, she's going to have a baby and learn whatever she learned. And then it's a continual thing that in the community we call a generational trauma, generational curses in the Bible. And we've learned that slavery is still in our DNAs. And it's like, it's all these things that we're constantly learning. The information is out there, and then my question became, what am I going to do about it? Because I'm not going to be an agent of this society.
You know, we're not going to always be the ones here to keep talking to them, like keep saying, so people like need to like take this information and just bring it on. Like, Baby Mamahood, it's not just a one thing time. I want this to be for all my kids, all their kids before. It's just a whole generation, and don't feel bad about what they're doing, if they have a baby or not, if they want to be alone or not. If they do, then that's what they want. If they don't, then that's what they want. So hopefully this keeps going, generations and generations, my kids, and then there'll be a mama and their baby, and then they'll have, maybe the baby will have their another baby, and there'll be a mama, you know, keep it going.
And, you know, speaking of birth, I want to take it back to birth support. So you mentioned, right, being a doula earlier. So maybe we could come back around to that. Could you talk a little bit about the role that birth support plays in this broader picture?
Right. So I just want to say that I didn't think that I would ever do birth work. I never thought that I would want to become a midwife. I never thought that, because I never saw the activist role in it. Because when I was younger, I was really interested in advocacy, and I wanted to be a lawyer for a long time. And so it was through this woman, Samaya Franklin, who I want to give big shouts out to, and who's overseas right now doing midwifery work. She called me and she was like, hey, I'm doing this doula training. I was like, first of all, I don't got doula training money, you know? And she was like, just bring what you can and cook for us and just come through, you know, and give what you can. And I was like, okay. And I was like, but why should I even do this? And she was like, well, you got Baby Mamahood. You're already working with this idea of motherhood and putting your story out there, but why not start from the very beginning? So I was like, okay. So I did the doula training. Then I started volunteering for the homeless prenatal program. And so what I found through the work is that women have been fed this lie that they need to do everything themselves, right? And if you don't do everything yourself, something is wrong with you, right? Which is a little bit interesting, because I was just talking about being a singular person raising a kid, right? Mm-hmm. But in that knowing is that I know that I can't do nothing by myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I think a mom doesn't need a father, but they do need partnerships. Mm-hmm. I do create a community around my kid who can also bring her up, because I am a singular person. And, you know, and sometimes you need someone else to bounce ideas off of, or you need childcare. You need, Zion should see positive masculinity in her life. Like, I'm not denying that at all. And so I found through birth work that if I can plant these seeds in women and actually physically, emotionally, with informationally support them, then they can probably have a birth that they want to have. And then they can have a better start with their child rather than maybe having postpartum depression or being like anything from that to like hemorrhaging because you're up doing things when you're supposed to be laying down and healing. Mm-hmm. And with birth, the medicalization of birth, if I even go into that rabbit hole, is this whole system around women can't give birth and they need to be drugged up in order for them to do it, which is such bullshit, if I can just say it. I was 98 pounds when I got pregnant, gained about 130, and I gave birth to Zion without hooting and hollering. And it wasn't because it wasn't painful. It wasn't because it wasn't challenging. It was because I was like, all right, so everyone's telling me this is a very challenging time. I'm going to embrace that and I'm going to have this baby naturally. And that's what I did. And so I think the way that women have been undermined, underpaid, under every damn thing, right? This whole feminist movement started because white women were mad that they were staying at home moms. Mm. When I would love to be a stay, I mean, I am for the most part to be a stay at home mom. Like, I want that shit. Like, you know, I want someone to pay everything and I don't have to do anything else but raise some babies. That's like life goals for me, but that's not gonna happen today or tomorrow or the next day. So I just feel like, I think that my role in birth work is to show women to honor their feminine goddess self and to actually like feel confident in saying like, this is my life. This is how I want it to go. And this is how I want to give birth. And so I find myself, especially when I work in the hospital, which I haven't in a while, thank you, Jesus, or or Marisha, I constantly find myself telling staff like, this is not what they want. This is, can we have a minute to talk about this? Because what happens is if you don't have support in the hospital with women, and we know the rates with African-American women giving birth in this country, women of color is like 4 times more likely to die and your baby as well. Like, that is insane. And it's all because of the kind of care that they're getting. And whenever you bring fear, doubt, low self-esteem, especially to a ceremony like birth, because birth is a ceremony. It's not a medicalized event. It's a ceremony. You are bringing through a spirit, you know? That is a ceremony. And we need to really think about it that way so that we can witness women in their power. Thank and in you. Their not so much power, because right. this moment, birth is every damn thing. Every emotion you ever had, the excitement, the joys, the pain, the lows and the highs, like you're confronting everything. And whenever you bring fear, doubt, that means that you have those adrenaline hormones coming in. You have all those negative hormones that's going to constrict your body. Your body's not going to contract and you might end up in a C-section or a very, very traumatic experience. So we need to bring love back to birth. And unfortunately, a lot of times in the hospital, usually, I don't even think it matters if it's a midwife or an OB because the culture is so pervasive. It's like, we don't look at birth like that. We look at birth as this emergency when it's not, you know? So I feel like my role in that work is to really bring back the ceremony to birth and the education and the advocacy for women or women, you know, bodies, even trans, you know, men have babies as well. And I want to give voice to that. You know, it's like you are allowed to be called what you want to be called during the birth and to like really be respected because that's crucial. Like you're doing a major thing to your body. Like it's major, like it is trauma to your body. What you just done, like birth is a trauma to your body. But if that's coupled with like a shitty ass experience, it's going to stay with you longer than what it actually needs to.
Yeah. Thank you so much for all that you shared around that. Do you want to jump in?
Sure. I want to explain more, like I said, about the hood, the word hood, like in baby mama hood, and also about pregnant mamas and how sometimes happens, which is very sad that we watched a documentary about, just to bring up, which I feel like I should. A lot of women, poor mostly, people of color, who most likely might live in the hood, some people die or their babies die or themselves die from this chemical called Cytotec because there's other chemicals too, but they don't, it's not, it also says in the label it's not for pregnancy, but it also is the cheapest actually of all those pills.
Which, just to clarify, Cytotec is used to induce abortions actually, and they actually use it to induce birth as well.
Thank you.
So I want to also bring up how you know, we also try to, like, not let women have this and also have, like, a natural birth.
Or to find, like, natural ways to induce labor. Because there are natural interventions that you can
absolutely.
Take.
Yeah.
One of our clients that, well, my mom's client, because I didn't have space for me to go to her birth. She was going to, I think, this, like, place where it's, like, program, I think. One of our friends, she wanted to have a baby fast. Well, she didn't have cytotech, but they had have to have a, what's it called?
A cesarean?
A C-section.
Mm-hmm. I like to call it a cesarean birth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Her midwife is just like, just get a cesarean. But my mom was like, you should just dance, have this naturally. She was tired, and you know, birth is not something, it's just not like, oh, it came out. You know, it's pain, you know? You gotta get through it, and so my mom was just, come on, stand up, let's dance, you know? But, you know, you get tired and stuff, but usually we try to inspire women, not saying you have to do this, you have to do that, saying, like, well, we can do this.
Right.
We like to do things naturally, but it's their decision at the end of the day. I just thought those things were really connected and to our doula work. Of course, if bring out cytotech or something like that, we're going to be like, eh, do you feel like this is not for pregnancy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But we don't be like, don't do this, don't do this. You know, it's end of the day, it's their decision, like I said.
Right.
You can't force the mother to do something, because this is like, if we force a mother to do something, that's like, we're saying things that we're not trying to force mothers, you know, to do this stuff, and then we're doing that. So we're pretty much just like being hypocrites.
We're being colonizers for natural remedies.
Yeah.
Like, listen, which is not what we're doing.
Yeah. We're trying to say that we're not doing this, but we're doing it. So
right. That's
why I feel like our doula work, I'm going to be soon going to my first birth on August.
Mm-hmm.
We do doula trainings a lot, but I haven't been to a birth. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
It's hard to convince people, which is a whole other topic, that a child should be there.
Sure.
You know? In this professionalism, we separate mothers from their kids, anyone from their kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I just have to back it up on that front and also share, you know, when my little sister was born when I was 5 years old, it was at home, it was a home birth, and the only people that were there assisting were my aunt and my grandmother. And so I grew up thinking that was what birth was. Like, a doula, who needs a doula? A midwife, who needs a midwife? They were like, we've done this before, we'll be fine.
My mom had like a similar thing. She didn't really start doula and midwife because she didn't really know that much.
Mm.
She didn't really heard that, or nobody's really been talking about that, especially in New York. My mom was, her mom was sort of like her doula, so we thought about it as like she was just helping us, but now I really think about it, she's like her doula. We pretty much decolonize their minds and learn new things, because sometimes you got to learn it from elders and people who came before you.
Mm-hmm.
And people who know more knowledge.
I wanted to say something about consent, which is really huge in the birth world. Because what is consent? Consent is like, hey, you want this epidural? Yes or no? That's not consent.
Thank you.
Consent is like the informational piece around it. So again, that's how we empower and we advocate. It's not through telling people, like Zion said, like, you should just do this. It's more like, this is the risk, these are the benefits, and these are the alternative.
Right.
And really, like, understanding that the choices that we make right now can potentially impact you in 50 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When your kid is taking care of you. You know? So,
So,
I think it's beautiful that your mom was assisted by your aunt and your grandmother, because that's how it was always done.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then white men came in and basically criminalized the lay midwives, or the what they call, quote unquote, the granny midwives in the South, because they realized this is business. Like, people don't break their arm every day.
Yep.
But people give birth like in the hundreds of thousands every day around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really was a cash crop. They use women's bodies, how we use the earth, to make money off of. And that's just in and of itself just criminal. And it's not just making money to live. We're talking about making huge amount of profits and gains for the pharmaceutical industry as well, which
that's
we're finding that has high consequences.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Oh, can I add something?
Yeah.
Like my mom said about consent, let's go back to cytotech. instead of saying you should have Cytotech, because moms want to just be like, oh, just give me anything because I'm tired, you know? That's to be honest with you, they just be like, oh, that helps me to go faster. Let's just do that. You have to talk to them, not just be like, well, this is a little, no. You got to like tell to them like, these are like the benefits. This is the risk. It's not for pregnancy. Well, just for an example,
and not to mention the people who make Cytotech say don't use this for pregnant women.
Yes, it says it right in the label.
But a doctor is not going to tell you that when they want to insert it in your vagina.
Yeah, like and most of the time, like moms don't want to like sit down and read it. You know, some most of the time, so they'd be like, okay, okay.
Right.
So it's pretty mind blowing when you think about it, because I feel like they already know, like they're not going to probably not like look at it and you just be like, oh, then let's just do that, you know? So if they choose to do that, we have to support them, but you also have to tell them, be honest with them, because while you're doing this work with them, it's not just like, oh, they're just my client. You have to build a relationship with them. People like just to like do it because they want money, you know? You have to build a relationship with them. You got to talk to them. How do you feel? Do you need some water? Maybe they want to talk about something that's up, you know? But don't make them like, oh, let's just talk about this. Because you have to let them talk to you. And you can ask, you can dance together, you know, build a relationship with them because they're going through something that is going to be beautiful. But you have to tell them that sometimes. Tell them, oh, you're doing great. Well, you're doing a wonderful job. Because sometimes they don't hear that every day. They might hear the opposite. They might not. But you still, you want to keep telling them that, which is one of the things I learned from a training. Tell them they're doing a wonderful job. Keep pushing, you know. Also want to say is more into, like, abusive men. Not just, like, mostly, like, abusive. Like, people are forced or manipulate to have a man or to be in your life, to have a baby. But really what helped us a lot instead of a man being in our lives is the community helped us a lot, helped pay some bills, get a car, because we GoFundMe, you know, our people, a lot of our fans are that feel like we're inspiration. A lot, the community really helped us a lot and helped us go high. We started from the bottom, you know, now we're up there.
Yeah, shout out to community.
Yeah, shout out.
For real, we all need support. Yeah,
social media helped us, friends, family.
Their friends and family, strangers.
Right.
You know, people who feel inspired by us.
Shout out to grandmas.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
They helped us, even from the little things, just starting from from our GoFundMe, just $5. It just helped us get, like,
$3,000 to buy a car because my car was stolen. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. You know, the community helped us be here, you know? So always like to, you know, thank the community, because if the community wasn't here, then we wouldn't be up here.
Absolutely.
Or be here today because we got a car now. So,
literally,
we would not be here.
Like, seriously, we'll be here like
20 minutes late because our Uber pool.
Or even have like money, you know? Some people donate money. Yeah, so, our family helps us. But who else helps the family? The community helps my family, then it comes to us. So, I don't know where we'd be. Probably lost.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that gratitude that's so important to remember and to inspire folks to be able to recognize all of the gifts that we are surrounded by, regardless of whether or not we honor them accordingly, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Do you have any more questions?
I do, as a matter of fact. You're on a roll, so I should just keep them coming.
Yeah.
Well, I was first off, before asking another question, going to share, I really appreciate what y'all have both been saying about consent and this idea of, right, free, prior, and informed consent. So that educational piece y'all were speaking to. So it's not just, right, there's this toxic medical industrial complex that's saturating us in propaganda. So then going to the opposite end of the spectrum and then trying to just pressure people when they don't actually understand why an alternative might make more sense for them, but really respecting people's dignity as a part of that process so they can can, like you've mentioned, and I so appreciate Zion, actually decolonize their minds to be able to really understand more deeply why maybe alternative remedies might be more sensible, even to have some context for being able to make sense out of, say, the profiteering off of women's bodies, the medicalization of something as natural as birth, to have some sort of context to situate all these really important topics that you've been bringing up.
Because consent is a part of love.
Thank you.
Woo, girl.
You can say that again.
We have to quote that.
Consent is love.
Yeah, it's really.
Thank you.
Words can change people's feelings. Words just sounds like words, but words really change things a lot. For example, suicide. People been teasing people, you know? That's how words can really hurt people. Words can also make people feel loved, joyful, mad, you know? Also, words connect to consent and stuff, also connects to other things, and also connects to love, and also connects to, you know, hate and stuff like that. It just depends your tone to it. A lot of people say when you say things, also your tone. And so consent is pretty much love, because in births and stuff, or if you ask people for stuff, you gotta ask for consent or a hug, or if they're feeling pain or a certain way. And they're going to feel still mad, but they're going to feel respected, because if you just come up to them, they're going to feel even more bad. Yeah, consent is love in types of ways, different ways. And love is different things, but one of the things that is love is consent.
Thank you for that, Zion. How inspiring. And, you know, I also really love that so much of what you've both been speaking to really resonates with this idea of people taking their power back and remembering the power that we have. So even if we've been told otherwise, even if we've been lied to as if we don't have power, so much of what I see coming through the work that y'all are doing in the world and embodying it within yourselves is helping people remember how powerful we are.
Yeah.
Not buying into those lies that would tell us, oh no, you need a doctor to be able to do all of this. Right.
You know, like, I have, like, this a kid that also I used, like,
you comes to.
I have a kid that goes sometimes goes to my school a lot, mostly just talking about chemicals and how people are using to help children, people. I'm not going to say the name, but a kid who has to go, you sometimes go to public school, but when they go to my school, has, like, mental problems, like, they can't stop moving. But when they go to the their public school, you know, they have to take drugs to just cool down. They, like, say that you have to take a few pills and then you have to go there. So I feel like a lot of things that we're doing is also to help the body and the soul, and also you need to cleanse your body. You need some, not just cleansing and stuff. Well, not just like things as cleansing is also helping the body, because you need to help your body, because that's, your body helps you, your legs, your arms, you know. Sometimes I'll be like, thank you, arm. Like, thank you, fingers. Mm-hmm. Like, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of things is also health and how we have to not just decolonize our mind, also cleanse our body, because our body helps us every day. That's how we move, how we live, and yeah.
So this kid at decolonize, they don't have to take medicine when they go to decolonize.
Yeah,
is that their choice?
Well, what do you mean? Say that again?
You distinguish between when this kid goes to man's school, which you call public school, and when they go to decolonize, like,
he doesn't need medicine, you know? It's hard because he likes, you know, likes fidgeting, fighting, distracting us. But we don't just, like, fight back. We deal with it, but we also, like, we don't try to mess up his mind. We need to decolonize all their minds because in the end of the day, we're all a community. So we also, sometimes we have to act different around that person, because they're an individual and also they're different. And even though people call different people names and stuff, at the end of the day, that's still a person, a human, not an animal. And so
animals deserve love too.
Yeah, but still, this person, you know, we don't give him pills and stuff because we know that's not going to decolonize us. We call it decolonized academy for a reason.
Right, it's a real hard truth. Like
sometimes we don't have to take a pill to decolonize us, because we watch videos of having a good diet, how people have like a big bin of like pills to take every day. You know, there's like, well, I took 2 weeks of having a natural green diet and I'm better than better, you know? So and things like that, Decolonize Academy has changed a lot. Mine, I learned that I'm Taino. I learned different things, not just about math, science, you know. I also learned more things about myself and other people and how I treat them and how they're different and how I have to act different for them. It's not like I don't have to, but if I don't, they're different. I'm not gonna, you know, gonna be nice to them. And they have, you know, have things and problems at home and things in their body, you know, just things that they have. Drama happens, a lot of things. But you have to decolonize yourself, but you have to be considerate to other people, because that's also just being cleansing yourself, because other people are not going to be the same as you, you know? People are going to be different. Like, people have been dealt with drugs, all that stuff. I'm not going to go into that, but people are different living in the streets, and some people, they get into stuff, and sometimes you got to act calm, you know, and stuff, because they've been dealt with some stuff, and you got to be considerate to them. Cause you're gonna get into problems when we're just trying to build a community full of love, you know. We're trying to not break the community, and we want to build the community into a better place instead of a multi-million corporation run by empires and colonizers or the white man, you know.
In quotation marks. I really appreciate that, because again, it falls away from this singular story, right? So if you don't act this kind of way, you're not a part of normal society. So we have to make you into a normal person by giving you these pills. Did anyone ask this kid, do they want to be on pills?
No consent.
Right. It's not a consensual situation. Yep. Does this child even know what's actually going to happen or happen to their body? Do they understand that? Does the parent understand that? But no, but if you don't do this, right, if you don't take these pills, if you don't immunize these children,
if you can't be at the school.
If you don't do X, Y, and Z, you're not allowed into this society. And so that's a form of colonization. That's a form of taking away people's autonomy, instead of saying like, okay, this person is different. What can I do differently so that they can be included? What can I teach the other classmates in this class about this so that we can fall away from this idea of being independent and being interdependent? Because what happens when you separate people from one another, we don't learn how to support one another. We learn how to just do our own thing and become this individual, you know, going back to individualization, which is very toxic to the earth and to other people. And so that's why I appreciate Decolonize Academy, because it's like this idea that you hear in church, come as you are. You know the church is not really about come as you are. Because if you gay, you can't even go into such a church.
And also to connect to what you were saying. So I went to this place and I explained something, how also what we work is also connected to the community, because what we're doing is in the community. So I talked about this thing at my school, well, with my Tiny, who's also one of the
co-founders of Poor Magazine and Decolonize Academy. Shout out to Mama Tiny and her Mama D, which is actually where the D comes from, D-E-E, Colonize Academy.
Thank you.
So I also said, like, we're using other people's corporations. At the end of the day, we're using people's solutions when we can make our own solution of homefulness. And our solution is Decolonize Academy because we don't need to use these solutions. Because if we could protest all day long, all they're going to do is just be like, boom, boom. You know, all they're going to do is just, right now, they're actually building stuff to just keep us away and make our words not be said. And so, in the end of the day, we can make our people made food, clothes, all these things. We could just make our own solution. And my solution is Decolonize Academy, because I'm going to do the people what they did before, and I don't need these corporations to take over what I have to say or whatever I need to do. I don't need to get a vaccine to go into a public school. Mm. If I have problems, I don't need to take pills to go into school either. Mm. I don't need to take shots. I don't need to take anything unless I want it.
Let's do the revolutionary thing and connect to our bodies and minds and souls and find solutions that are not detrimental to our health.
So
the radical idea.
Shout out to Decolonize Academy, right. Poor Magazine, because Baby Mamahood is connected with other solutions, with community. And Baby Mamahood is a huge thing. It's not just a corporation like, oh, this is the corporation. We only do this. We're connected with other communities, and we also are inspired by them. So we also, instead of people, we're taking other people's things that they said to us, we're going to also bring them up with us. Because they helped us when we didn't know this stuff. So we're going to bring them up with us and uplift them. If they can't say anything or they're scared or people are letting them down to say something, we're going to uplift them with us, because Baby Mamahood, we're going to make a community with Decolonize Academy, all the other people who are trying to do this stuff, and the people who been dealt with this stuff and people who are powered to do this, we're going to uplift them with us, and we're going to take it into our journey. And hopefully this journey will keep going and going, like I said earlier. And nobody's going to stop us then. But right now, we're going to go up slowly so nobody knows.
We're still in the dark a little bit.
We're subterranean.
Because we're not privileged people. We can't go up high. We got to save up money. So help us. People who are listening, go help us.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you a little bit more later about how people can get in touch, to be sure. Thank you so
follow
much for sharing
our Instagram,
that.
Baby Mamahood, and my Instagram, too.
What's your Instagram?
It is _family_and_ spirit _.
Family and spirit.
Okay, thank you so much for sharing that.
Yep.
You know, something I appreciate so much about what you've both been sharing is this theme of restoring dignity to children also. So it not just being about the mamas and the caretakers, but also to youth,
That's why it's called Baby Mamahood, because the babies and the mamas.
Yes, thank you so much for that, right? Because, you know, one aspect of this oppressive, dominant society that we're in that I would love for people to be taking so much more seriously and revolutionary and radical in decolonial spaces is ageism, is how folks write off being non-consensual to children in so many ways that are just so hierarchical and so oppressive that they wouldn't perpetuate when it comes to so many other isms, whether it's racism, classism, you know, this idea that's really rooted in this Eurocentric notion of children as, and then fill in the blank, all of these horrible biases, you know, that, you know, I mean, maybe there might be a time, of course, right, if a toddler is running into the street, then to be sure, a caretaker is going to maybe non-consensually pull them out of the street.
Yeah.
Obviously. And, right, precisely, right?
Yeah.
So for y'all to be really also modeling for folks, showing what it could mean to really be cultivating consensual relationships with kids also is so necessary. Thank you for that piece too. Yeah.
And also, if you guys hear the song, the Baby Mama song.
Yes.
It's like, it's your baby mama. That song is sort of making a little bit fun of that Baby Mama word, I have to say. Even though it's a poppy song, it's a nice beat, and I like dancing to it. It is sort of making fun of the word. So also, they're also making songs of the word baby mama to make fun of it. So if you have heard that song, you might know what I'm talking about, but it's a song.
Okay. I really appreciate you like naming that outrightly in terms of hierarchy and how we treat kids, because that's one of the key things in our relationship is that, you know, sometimes life is so rough that we don't really consider children and their feelings because it feels like it's beneath us, right?
Yeah.
But then we have to, like, I had to make a decision when I was pregnant with Zion. I said to myself, what kind of child do I want to have, right?
For
and I
real.
Think that's, if you're pregnant right now, you're listening to this, like, really ask this question. And it goes beyond, like, I want them to be a doctor, or I want them to be a lawyer. Like, it's like way beyond that. And what I settled on was, I want Zion to have high self-esteem.
Yes.
I want her to grow up thinking that she's a shit and she knows it. And also, you know, also be humble, right? But, like, I want her to know that. And I never want her to doubt her power. Like, that's what I wanted. And so...
Yeah.
I have to listen to her when she's crying because someone took her lollipop. And I'm like, girl, it's not even that serious. Like, why is this even? Like, if I, because I'm planting those seeds of what you say doesn't even matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But to her and her age, yes. and where she's at, it's a huge deal, right? And then at the same breath, because parenting is like, it's a balancing act, right? We also have to create balance in that, because I also see children out there who don't respect no one,
mm-hmm.
because they come from these parents like, I just want them to be free and
mm-hmm.
everyone to be free. But freedom
mm-hmm.
ends where my nose begins. Like, your
yeah.
freedom ends
yep.
where my nose
yep.
begins,
yep.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be really conscious also about how we talk to our children around consent too, because
yep.
freedom doesn't mean that you get to do what you want to do when you want
Thank
to do
you.
It.
Thank
either,
you.
Right? But also,
yeah.
yes, please listen to your children. Please take their feelings hella serious, even if you think it's not a big deal to you. We really need to validate children's feelings, and we really need to do that and model that behavior to them while they're young,
yes.
so that we can actually rise them up
yes.
and not continually bring them down.
Thank
Say
you.
It. And also, I want to go into something that my mom said was very interesting, but I also want to bring out something else. Is people want to let their children, you know, do something they want. They're planning out their life for them. It's a good word to say. And, well, I feel like my mom did this interview for, like, an assignment of people who want to be mamas or pregnant or whatever, talking about, like, having questions. And one of the questions, and one of the persons that she reached out to was this woman. I don't really know her name, but she was saying that she wanted her child to be whoever. They could be gay. They could be, you know, whatever. They could like boys or girls. They can be tomboy or tomgirl, you know. But a lot of people say that those things, that's not good. Or a lot of, like, Christian, you know, stuff. A lot of people say in Bibles or, like, being those things are harmful or God doesn't like you, you're going to hell, things like that. And when people ask me, do you believe in God and stuff, I say, yeah, because... God is not this white dude that we see in the book.
God is not a dude, period.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's not a dude. How do you know? Have you seen
right.
him?
No, sorry.
So they there's copies and copies. There's different Bibles. And colonizers came, I would say. I'm not going to say white people or not bring labels because I don't know who. Made different versions of the Bible and made him a white man who... doesn't like, you know, being this and that and making rules. And so now people who believe this person, I will say empire, who is controlling, he's not a bad dude. God, I love you. But saying he's not a white dude, but I also say Orishas and I believe in those things like Mother Nature and there's different things, you know.
We have ancestors.
Yes, there's Orishas that are meant to, not trying to, you know, bow down on the men. Men do things too, but women have to stand up too, you know. I know a lot about women because I can't speak for the men because I'm not a man and I don't know what they've been through. But as a woman, as a young woman, I have to say that women have been bowed down and have to listen to the men and can't do things that men can do, but which
it's actually the other way around. They can't do what we do.
Ooh, mm-hmm. that's our new quote.
They can't birth babies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't do that. They can't breastfeed a baby. You know.
No, but you things like we can't wear pants or I don't know, just things like that. How we can't do or we can't do this. Well, what about you can do this?
Uh-huh.
You want to play with me?
But also recognizing that there's more ancient
right.
understanding and
mm-hmm.
text
yes.
than the Bible.
That's why
right.
when we start a circle with people, I always say, what do you prefer? She, her? Because people, you know, people have things that they prefer in. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to be like, sometimes they prefer they. I live with people mm-hmm. who prefer they mm-hmm. or he, her, she, right. matter, or they don't care. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of things like that, and how the Bibles also say that you have to date a woman and a man where belong together only. So that's just a thing that also concludes that women think that they have to have a baby and have a man with them and forced or be in an abusive relationship, but think that if they're not with them that they don't have a life or they have no life to live. Yeah.
They don't matter.
Yeah, or they don't matter, or their family's not going to love them the same way or think of them differently.
Right.
Or people would think of them differently. So that's what I want to say. Any more questions?
Thank you for that. Okay. No, I appreciate your mentioning that. You know, it's funny, actually, just on the way over here to the studio, I had maybe for the first time in my life that I can remember a Lyft driver, a younger Black woman, ask me something along the lines of, if I had accepted Jesus Christ, the Lord, as my Savior. And so it's so real to this day in 2018, that biblical pressure in the U.S., yes, right? And so thank you so much for honoring the role that that plays
story.
In this.
Like, seriously. Mm-hmm. I was, like, in New York, and I was with my family, of course. My uncle, my grandpa, my grandma were going to his girlfriend's house, and the Uber driver, my uncle was in the front seat, was talking to the person, like, gay, the Bible, all that stuff. My grandma started, she's Christian, so she started being like, oh, this is horrible, blah, 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 you know, doing that. So I'm not saying my grandma's a horrible person, but that's what she has been learned. Her, she learned how to read the Bible. The Bible is what she reads, and if you start reading these things, reading gives you information, you know? So she learned that, and now she's really into it because all her belief is in that. Like, she trusts that. So now when you're really into it and nobody has been convincing you or taught you other solutions, then you go blow off on people sometimes because you're like, well, I learned this, and now you are wrong. I'm right, you know? I read 30 books about this. I'm right, you know? So, like I said earlier, you can't make them the victim because that's what they have learned almost their whole life. And that's why I'm teaching people this, if they hear this, so they can learn this and also decolonize our bodies. Because sometimes we try to tell her, like, we accept these things, but she, you know, we have to sometimes lie to her sometimes, which is really sad. But sometimes we don't want to be all out, you know, just saying, oh, no, this is horrible, you know? And so, but like I said, she doesn't want to take in the new information. So that's why I said earlier, sometimes you need to sit down and learn from other people, the people who came before, or people who learned this from people who came before. And not just decolonize yourself, but also decolonizing yourself and cleansing yourself is not just, you know, learning it from yourself. You gotta learn from other people sometimes. Also, when you're trying to cleanse and you're taking all this out, you also need to take some in, you know? And good energy and good information that can actually help you forward. So I'm gonna let my mom talk.
And just not be so divisive. That's it. It's like, whenever there's division, that's not God.
Thank you.
There's no ceremony in that. There's no togetherness in that
at
all.
And also, colonizers, I have to bring them up again. You know Hawaii, when they do the Hawaiian dance with the skirts?
Hula.
So people thought, oh, the men now colonizer changed it up a bit because it used to be actually a ceremony. But now if they flipped it up now everybody's doing it and all the men are like, because they have less clothes on, you know, like, ooh, look at her.
Thank you
so
for that.
So hula is actually, I didn't even know, but hula is actually a ceremony, which is, you know, it's not like, ooh.
It's not entertainment for the consumption of the male gaze.
So people, like, they switch up things that are like ceremonies or rituals from other people who came before, and now colonizers switching it up into another solution, that's a better solution, quotes, for them. But when you really think about it, when you learn that, you're like, dang, I thought these some of these streets used to be the hood. Now they're just privileged people, rich people. But when people think like, oh, that was like that forever, But when you learn that, you're like, what? But that was like a hood before, you know? Mm-hmm. Or that used to be a garden or something, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And things like that. So you have to also, like I said, cleanse, but you also have to take in.
Thank you. Well, you know, we're actually already at time. So I just want to ask really quickly, if folks would like to be in touch with you all, how can they do that?
Well, one of the things I would say, social media, which is really right now, you can also go babymama.com.
So I'll take over on this part, please.
Yeah.
Okay. So we are on www.babymamahood.com. So that's BabyMamahood.com. We're also on Facebook. I'm Juju Angeles on Facebook.
And I'm Zion Angeles on Facebook.
Okay. And how do you spell your last name, please?
Angeles, like Los Angeles, A-N-G-E-L-E-S. Repeating, A-N-G-E-L-E-S.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for that. And so if folks wanted to reach out either to get involved or to support the work that you're doing, would those be the best places for them to check out?
I would say to sign up on the website. There's like a place where they can put their email.
It's on babymama.com.
And then our hope, babymamahood.com. And I hope that in the next coming weeks, we have something up and we'll let people know. You'll be the first one to know when we launch our project. Yeah.
And awesome. You can also follow us on Instagram. I will say earlier, it's also babymama.com. It's not
babymamahood.
No space, babymamahood. Yes, babymamahood, sorry.
Okay.
And also, you can follow us and you can also try to message us. Oh, this I like your, you know, work, whatever.
Yeah,
and
please reach out to us.
Don't feel free. We are not mean people, okay?
Not all the time.
Yeah. And then you can follow me, Zion. And also my Instagram is _family_and_spirit_. And I'll say it again, _family, F-A-M-I-L-Y, _and. Everybody knows how to spell and, A-N-D, duh. _spirit. _.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that. And to both of you for your time and your energy today and everything that you shared so generously and the work that you're doing in the world. Really appreciate having you on the show.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Yes. So amazing. Thank you, the community and the Colonized Academy Port Magazine. Mm-hmm. Go check out their website. They're also doing a school. They have a school, so if you like to go in the school, it's really powerful.
The Colonized Academy is raising money for their project Homefulness and for the school to keep going. They were not going to open up next year, but through support in the community, folks have been donating. If you want to find out more, please go to portmag.org.
And also, if you can reach us too, that's cool. And we're also going to work on a website. So if you go to babymamahood.com, then you will see our website when it comes up and you can stay in tuned.
Great.
My name is Zion Angeles, A-N-G-E-L-E-S. And this is
Juju Angeles.
Angeles.
Awesome. Well, thank you again both so much for everything that you shared. We'll have to have you back on the show at another time.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
Love that.
In closing, let's end with a short poem by one of today's guests. This poem is called Decolonize, and it's by Zion Angeles.
So you think it's fine to abuse a 100 woman of eviction. It's not healthy for us to swallow up and chew discrimination / eviction and our throats. Us brown / black people were born to cook and clean for you whites. Us colored folks were born to be whooped by slave masters that you didn't know. Did your mama ever tell you to listen to your elders? Did your mama ever tell you to respect your elders? That's pretty cringy if they didn't. And if they did, you're disrespecting them. Well, our new president, Donald Duck of the United Snakes, FYI Donald Trump, and he wanted America great again. It was never great ever for color folks. At least we learned common sense and care for others while you white folks were a mess. We try to be on top of our game. I'm sorry I was caring for being independent and no homeowner recognizing. Hopefully you in a great place. and you can see your ancestors and fly.
The power of the people is louder than the evil.
That's it for today's episode of Feral Visions, a decolonial feminist podcast brought to you by the Grassroots Adult Freedom School Liberation Spring. I've been your host, Anjali Nathupadia, and I thank you for listening. What did this dialogue evoke for you? You're welcome to post questions and reflections in the comment section below to continue our collective journey of unlearning, remembering, and imagining. If you want to share feedback, such as segment ideas or potential guests you'd like to hear on the show, email liberationspring@gmail.com. And don't forget to follow Feral Visions on SoundCloud or iTunes, where you can find our free show archive. The Liberation Spring YouTube page also has the video recordings of most all of our dialogues, too. If you'd like more information on this show's topic, including upcoming online classes and one-on-one community independent studies, check out liberationspring.com. To donate to the project, check out Liberation Spring's Patreon page. Thanks to Climbing Poetry for our theme song, We Rise for technical production, and Grammy Award-nominated Zion Angelus of Baby Mamahood for our opening. Please consider leaving a rating or review so others can find out about the show. Be sure to tune in for next week's episode. And in the meantime, let's make our ancestors proud.